Hello, everybody. It's the coach, Rich Gilgallon, along with Dr. Kinar Shah here on the Biggity Big 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 Show. What's up, Doc? And fresh back from a journey of from sea to shining sea is Dr. Shah. How you doing there, brother?
Hey, coach. Thanks for having me on the show.
Well, it's a pleasure. It's your show, brother. I'm just here in this amazing opportunity to have in-depth conversations with a guy like you. It's not every day you get this opportunity because of how busy you are Desert Dream Dentistry. Tell us a little bit how it's going over there.
Lovely. We are in our third year of operation and ever growing. We brought in, as you know, a new doctor that is helping us from Loma Linda. And the office is growing. They really like the new associate, and the business is just in general expanding all the way around. We're getting great feedback from
Well, he's a good associate, no question. But you know, the people are coming to see you, there, brother. I mean, don't short yourself on this situation. A good dentist, an expert dentist, who has the, I guess I'd say, chairside manner that you have, as opposed to a bedside manner for a hospital doctor, is very, 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 very hard to find. And so when people do find you, word of mouth spreads like wildfire when you can find somebody who is as experienced and, you know, for lack of a better term, as intelligent as you are. And your education, of course, backs all that up. And tell me, one thing that I've always been interested in, though, is these reviews that you see online. You know, you have the Yelps and the this's and the that's. And it seems to me that that gives, you know, people maybe more power than some people should have. What's your feeling on these and the reviews on web pages and things like that?
I have actually many feelings on this topic, Coach, as you bring it up. See, reviews were made by these companies that privately own the platform where the reviews are left and the content is left for the purpose of informing the public of what is information that the public needs to know about.
Sure.
But somewhere along the line over the years, it's got a little bit of corrupted. You have a lot of fake reviews. Companies that have a lot of money find organizations that leave these reviews, so they're not genuine.
Competitors.
Competitors.
Sure.
And the likes of Google and Yelp, they don't really have anybody that evaluates these. Some of them have automated systems. So you can buy these reviews, and it's a form of consumer fraud because you're really not allowing the public to leave their true comments.
Yeah, see, it's an idea that's a good idea that in your case would be great for business because everybody loves you. But what happens is that people that you're competing against are people with a bone to pick, and then they start, putting these. When you see 25 great reviews and you see one guy who's mad, yada 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 yada, and you're like, "What? Did we even work on this guy?" I mean, in many cases, you haven't. So, as you point out, there's no policing of these reviews for people to make sure that these are actually people that went through the office and things of that nature. So it's got to be frustrating for a professional in your line of work to have to deal with some of these things.
The frustration is that the control that these platforms have over us. If you see a small business that has thousands of reviews, I would start being concerned.
Yes.
It's possible, but it's...
Doubtful.
Doubtful. Yeah, but ultimately, us as professionals... You can have some tremendously good healthcare providers that have a few bad reviews because of the system, and you can have a terrible practitioner that doesn't have any reviews.
Yeah, right.
So it's very hard to gauge the quality of care you're gonna get unless you go and meet the doctor. I mean, it's the overall picture of the reviews will give you an idea of what you're dealing with.
Right.
But it's sad that the facts I read, I think something like 83% of people look at reviews before they select a healthcare facility.
Yeah, see, it's one thing to talk about a restaurant in those terms.
Yes.
It's another thing to talk about a healthcare facility. You know, that has to be a concern for everybody in the healthcare business. And in your work with doctors, to doctors and things of that nature, I'm sure this has been a subject of a lot of conversation among other professionals, right?
Well, the biggest problem that we have is patients go to a practice, medical, dental, or any kind of healthcare practice. They have no idea what's going on in the background if it's not owned by the doctor, him or herself. So this is a problem. On top of that, you have this review issue where when one doctor makes a small mistake and it's all over the internet, then you got insurance companies, these service organizations, these equity, private equity groups that all are playing in the healthcare, and they weren't really invited, but they're all playing in healthcare, and nobody knows what they're doing because there's no review site for them. So they're acting with impunity.
Yes.
And that's the problem that we have as doctors, is that maybe we should put it all on the table. You know, maybe the practices need to disclose to the public, hey, this is a hedge fund back a medical operation where we churn doctors to the doors.
Right.
And if you don't like it, go somewhere else.
Well, this is one of your pet peeves, and rightfully so, is this sort of, for lack of a better term, the Walmartization of healthcare.
Private equity is destroying America's healthcare, period. I mean, you can spin it any which way you want, and the lobbyists are really good at finding excuses. The fact of the matter is, from the beginning of time, they put in these rules everywhere. There will be a conflict of interest when there's private equity and unlicensed people and people that have no fraternity to this industry come in and start telling us what to do. So this problem has been a conflict, and the biggest one here in the United States with the corporatization of medicine and healthcare. We as doctors wish patients knew what these guys are doing to the healthcare industry.
Well, that's why we're doing this podcast right here, brother. That's the one of the chief reasons for that, is to shine some light on this exact situation.
If the American people knew, there would be a revolution overnight on how they're getting ripped off by insurance companies, by hedge funds, by private equity, VC. It's very disturbing, and it's not in the interest of doctors and patients.
As we said in the past, when you go into a major American city, it's not the hospital that's the tallest building in town. It's the insurance company that's the tallest building in town, right? Doesn't matter what city you go in. And there's got to be a reason for that, for sure. And so you're in the front lines of the healthcare and have been for many, many years. I love this little bio here. I just want to tell people who we're talking to, because it really says a lot. A dentist is a lifetime professional commitment, part artist, part architect, part entrepreneur, part physicist, part surgeon, part businessman, part therapist, and part community friend. And that pretty much explains you in a nutshell, I think, there, Dr. Shah.
Yes, that's half of the equation. The other half is you have to be a good family man.
Yes. Otherwise, it's you're totally out of balance.
Got to try to balance all those things. But as dentists, we have a unique situation where we usually set up our own practices. We're independent from most hospital-type environments. We have regulations that we have to follow on the state level, and also on the federal level, of course, but more so independent. So we make our own beds as we grow in our careers. Mm-hmm. And it's good because we're independent thinkers. We're innovators. If you look in history, dentists have innovated many, many things. And this is because of our profession and the demand that it has and the many hats that we wear, that we are able to do these kind of things.
Well, one of the things that I've always found interesting is that at some point as a child, you had to go see a dentist. And we're talking, of course, to Dr. Shah here from Desert Dream Dentistry on the podcast What's Up, Doc. And so you, what was your experience as a kid going to the dentist? Was it a positive experience, or was it the reason you decided to go into dentistry to begin with?
I recall one dental appointment in Germany. It was a house of an individual that actually lived upstairs, and that's how they do it in Europe. And I was down there, and that was right before I came to the States for college. I was getting my dental work done and finished up in Germany, and he couldn't get me numb, and he had a really, really nice and pleasant and hot dental assistant.
Yeah.
And dental assistant, I was young at the time.
Sure.
She's like, you're my favorite, because I was putting up with it.
Yeah.
And she's like, if you finish, you know, you can always come back. She was very funny. She gave me a sticker at the end. But I went through it without numbing, and the guy actually did a good job.
Wow.
He couldn't get me numb. But ultimately, I saw in the dental profession what I always wanted as a professional is to be able to have extra time and do the things that I want and hire the people that I want and have the time to also explore all these other innovations and projects that we're working on.
And you find yourself now in Palm Desert, California, at on El Paseo, and with a full service. A dentist office and with an amazing cast and crew. I mean, really, just some of the finest assistants and secretaries and schedulers and assistant dental professionals that you'll ever find. I mean, I don't know how you put this team together, but that's a big part of what you do, is it not? Is team building.
Yes, and it takes time and building trust amongst each other. But, you know, many have compared us to The Simpsons and the opera, and it is like an opera.
Yes.
You know, you come in there and everybody is working together. We're a smaller type of office, so everybody's synced. And we know what needs to be done and how we're going to do it and how long we need to do it.
Well, that comes from the top, okay? Again, you're very shy, and I understand that, but somebody should tell you this. It's the sort of je ne sais quoi, for lack of a better term, that you provide from the top that really filters down throughout the staff. All business, but a very, very kind and considerate and friendly. You don't feel like you're in a doctor's office. You feel like you're in, that you're there to have work done by a team that supports you and cares for you. And I only say that because I've been in a lot of places that aren't like that and that have the sense of, hospital or doctor's office, and this is not like that. The lighting is different. The atmosphere, the music, everything in there it just all points to being comfortable and relaxed. And one of the things from a personal note is that oftentimes, you get the soft story from somebody, but you are very upfront in the procedure that takes place. In my case, for example, I had to have a complete extraction of every tooth in my head. I was devastated.
I love your smile, by the way.
Well, you walked me through it. So you walked me through it. You said, look, this is what we're going to do. This is a process. It's not an event. We're going to take these and we're going to give you some, and then we're going to adjust, and it's going to be a little bit of a process, and it's going to take a little getting used to. It wasn't pie in the sky. It was serious business, and I was so grateful for that, for the fact that understanding that we're in a process here, and which you are open to, particularly with dentures, let's just say. This is a process that nobody really loves, right? I mean, initially. But
like you said, it's a process. You made a very, very important point that anybody on this on our viewership can benefit from. When I was in MBA school after dental school, they taught us that whatever happens at the executive level ends up coming out at the customer service level.
Yes.
If you have executives running around a company or organization yelling and screaming, you have customer service people yelling and screaming. They don't know why. They
right.
actually have done a study like that. So it does exactly like that trickle down most often.
Oh, certainly.
In organizations, right? So customer service, there's such a disconnect in America. When you pick up the phone and call customer service, half the time the people at that level don't know what they're talking about. They
right.
can't solve your problem. They can't help you with what you need. And you have a very frustrating experience that gets a rise out of you sometimes. Why am I paying for the system? Or what kind of customer am I when they can never help me?
Right.
What are they there for?
Right.
These questions questions come up sometimes, right? But you try to be nice and calm, and you play the phone tag for hours and hours. That's corporate America for you.
Right.
You come to the small business, you know the front desk person. You know Jenny, and you know Desiree, and you know Dr. Massey. And you know, it's different. People know you. They appreciate you. When you call, they don't treat you like a number. They treat you like a person. So what we need in this country is to really go to our small businesses and empower them. The fat cats in corporate America don't need any more bailouts and help. It is a small business America that made us a world power that needs to come back for all the right reasons.
That's what, you're absolutely right. It's the business of America is small business. Now, we use the term small business, but if it's your business, it's a big business. You know what I mean? And I'm always, I get a little nervous when I hear the politicians talk about small business. Wait a minute. If it's my business, it's not a small business. It's a big business. Let me give your number out here. Desert Dream Dentistry and Spa, Dr. Shah. Dr. Kinar Shah is our host here at What's Up, Doc. 760-219-7487. You can find him at 73151 El Paseo Suite C in Palm Desert, California. And you can email them at info@desertdreamdentistry.com. And I suggest you do. If you have any issues, if your smile is not what you would like it to be, if you're, you know, when you talk about teeth, you're talking about two things. You're talking about cosmetics, and that's so important in our culture today, in every culture, really. And you're talking about utilitarianism as well. I mean, they can't just look good if you can't chew. Right. So
you got aesthetics and function. Yes,
aesthetics and function is another way to say that. And this is it keeps you busy. It keeps you busy every single day. You know,
it's a very challenging job, but it's very rewarding because you get to solve problems. You get to do something good in the world every single day. You get to help people. And the benefit of, in business, when you help others, you will be helped. That's the number one rule. So you have the benefit of being helped also.
Well, you see the immediate ramifications of your work. You don't have to wait around to see if a knee heals or if a hip heals, or if the heart is going to work after you've operated on it. They come out of that chair and they're looking in a mirror.
Well, in time, if it's a process, I love my medical colleagues, but sometimes their diagnosis and treatment planning is unpredictable.
Yes.
We kind of know what the standards of care are. We have probably seen vast majority of conditions.
Right.
There's rarely anything new that we see.
Rarely something new at this stage of the game.
When we come to play, we execute.
Yes. And you know what to do and how to do it, and
right.
Let's get it done. And there's no messing around. I mean, it's all business in that regard. Now, you just Dr. Shah just took a trip with the family from sea to shining sea. You just you went to college in the center of America as a Saluki. And you were driving around Florida, and you went out. So you went the southern route out and the northern route back, or what'd you do?
You know, when you drive, everybody is different. But when I drive as a dentist that looks at a very small field most of the day,
yes,
it's very expansive,
yes,
and peripheral. And it gets me ideas and things I could do better or things I could improve
upon. You're thinking while you're driving.
Thinking the whole time.
Wow.
Well, if I'm not blowing up everyone's phone,
I'm
actually thinking. But we did. We went to Arizona and then Texas and the Southern Rim.
It's a long ride through Texas, isn't it? That's a big
Texas
state. The
Texas one was a big one.
That's a big one.
You hit them quick. Alabama, Missouri, you get into Florida down there.
Louisiana,
Louisiana, yeah, we went down there. We actually went not on the way back, we went to Beale Street, but to, what's that? In
New Orleans?
In New Orleans, French Quarter.
Yeah, the music, yeah. Bourbon Street.
Bourbon Street, that's right.
Oh, yeah, I love Mallory. Me some Bourbon Street.
Yeah, Bourbon Street was good. Well, we hit Beale Street back to Memphis.
Oh.
You go down to Florida, and then we cut up into North Carolina. You know, you're your whole environment changes. Yes. You go from the desert scene to all greenery.
Yeah, I know. And to you actually have canopies on the road where you can't even see the sky, where the trees touch each other. The only thing that makes a path are the big trucks that go by and knock the branches off the canopy. I mean, it's a whole different thing.
You go into the Smoky Mountains.
And they don't call them the Smoky Mountains for nothing.
That's right. You do that in the winter time. It's gorgeous as well. But then Illinois, we got a cabin up there by Carbondale.
Is that right, Carbondale, Illinois?
For a couple of days, a little fishing. Did a little,
I saw your
camping.
Son caught a big one.
Yeah, he's his first one. At first he was scared, but then because it was flopping around.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Then he was good. But it's important to do spend time with family, get away, clear your head.
Yes, it is.
And then get back into it hard.
Well, you earned it, I'll tell you that, because you work like a demon over there all day long and all kinds of hours, and then taking time to inform listeners about what we're doing here. And you, you know, I mean, there's some guys that are, you know, kind of just dentists. Not that there's anything wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with that.
Nothing wrong with that, no.
But you're a little different. You're like an entrepreneur and have a really heavy focus on the way to run a business. You know, so you're a businessman and a medical professional, as well as a entrepreneur and an inventor. I mean, you got a lot going on here, bud.
Yep. It's around the clock. It's definitely around the clock. You do have all those things that you discussed in terms of entrepreneurship, but we also teach other doctors through the Global Summits Institute that we founded a couple of years back on how to be better businessmen, because that's important.
It is important.
Some of these guys have extremely good hand skills and extremely good brains that retain tremendous amount of information and can care for patients, but they don't have the extra will to bring a patient like a blanket or put their hand on their shoulder, do things that go a far way with patients. Very
important.
And marketing
as well.
Yes.
And of course, you show that you're a genius by marketing on the radio, which is in everybody's car. And, you know, those are the people that businesses thrive. If I could pat radio on the back just for a second. You know, you've been advertising on radio for a while, and it's brought you some new business, has it?
Yes, I do what they taught us in MBA school. You sample, you put a couple of ads out in the paper, you put some on TV, you put some in the radio.
And
the
one that...
Yeah, and the billboard too. We did all of those things. I mean, and the one that performs the best,
that's where you keep it.
Yeah, where you keep it.
Well, we like that. We hope that continues. It's the coach, Rich Gilgallon, here along with Dr. Kinar Shah. What a pleasure it is. One of the things that scares people most is extractions, right?
Yes.
And you, having an understanding of that, have made that really a primary focus of your expertise, if I could say that. Is that a correct assessment?
Yes. Everyone has a different way of doing extractions. I have sort of developed my own system and way of doing it from the minute the patient steps in till they come out, to make it a very seamless and comfortable experience. Sometimes, I mean, not that I will do that on every patient. I was able to take out 4 wisdom teeth in a matter of 1 or 2 minutes.
Yeah, that's a big one.
And after numbing, so patients don't like to be in a chair forever.
Right.
So if your speed is good as a clinician, that helps. Having a little bit of a sense of humor,
a little repartee.
You know, at first, you know, I start the first extraction sometimes, and I'll tell the patient as a joke, I got to go out in the shed and get the wrench or something.
I got to get a hammer.
and they laugh.
Of course.
And it just kind of breaks the ice when you tell them, hey, you're joking.
Right.
It's like reverse psychology. And if you have those skills to communicate with patients, it becomes a fun experience. And then you get done and they're like, wow, I can't believe that went that fast. And what happened?
I'm an absolute example of that. I thought there was another several left in there, but everything was out on time. Amazing.
Yeah.
And so
important.
That's a big part of your work is the extraction.
The extraction is easy. Managing the patient is what you got to work on.
Interesting.
Extractions, we all know. I mean, some know it better than others. Yeah. I've been doing probably over 30,000 cases.
Yeah, but it's as you've talked me through my situation, and others I've seen you talk through, is that you want to extract, but you want to, you know, you want to make sure that there's bone left and it's not.
That's the last resort. Extractions are the last resort.
Right.
You want to keep the tooth as much as you can, but if there is a way to restore them or keep them,
right,
that's preferred. But if there's better scenarios where you can have implants and dentures, you have to sort of lay it out all out for the patient.
Right.
Even some that are savable have a poor prognosis, long term prognosis.
Right.
You know?
Right.
So it's in the interest of both the clinician and the doctor to have a lengthy discussion about where we are going with this. And that's what we are actually known for, is to spend time with the patients above and beyond to manage those expectations.
I'll say. Dr. Kinar Shah here on What's Up Doc, our podcast here at Marker Broadcasting. And I just wanted to touch on a couple other things, and that is entrepreneurial aspect of some of the other things you have going on, if you're allowed to talk about it. You have some patents on some very unique fasteners, and this is really exciting stuff that you've been working on, if we're allowed to talk about it. Can we talk about it?
Absolutely, sure.
Tell me a little bit about what got you in that, because that's big.
Yeah, so, you know, we talked about the Global Summits Institute last time, how we started that for the benefit of doctors and patients. My hobby is creating things that solve problems. And I always tell my students and other colleagues that come and visit and that we work with, that you find a solution, find a problem in your daily life that annoys you, find a solution for it.
Right.
So for me, started with implants. I'm an implantologist. Right. I've been placing implants since 2008, and the challenges that I saw with screws was that fasteners can only be, most of the time, vast majority of them, put in straight.
Right.
So and that creates problems in construction, infrastructure, defense, automotive, furniture. Everywhere you look, the world is held together by fasteners.
Yes.
And what these engineers of our time have done is they have created all of their designs first with the idea that the fasteners have to go in straight.
Right.
So in areas you can't reach well, like corners and beams and
sure.
Angulated solutions that you need, I found a solution that would resolve this entire problem with access, anti-stripping, anti-skidding, anti-bending for nails. So you hit the nail always on the head.
Right.
You can check it out at universalfasteningsystem.com.
All right.
And we just actually uploaded 15 new innovations.
I saw them. They're unbelievable. I'm thrilled for you. I really am. This is very unique. Everything in the world is held together by a fastener of some sort. Everything.
Yes.
Right? I mean, pretty much. And so this is this could be a really world-changing. Save people a lot of money, a lot of hassle, if they get the idea that there's new kinds of ways to go about this. And this is really a serious new way to go about doing these things, and really changes architecture almost overnight, it seems like to me.
It's a lot smarter in terms of you cannot strip these things, and then you have leverage on the outskirts of the fasteners where you need to apply more leverage versus in the center core. So yes, indeed, it has the potential of affecting every and any industry that uses fasteners, which is just about every industry.
It is about every industry. So give them that web address again, because that's a big one.
UniversalFasteningSystem.com.
There you go, UniversalFastingSystem.com. Check it out. Well, thank you, brother. Thank you for taking the time to come in. This is our third in a series of podcasts. It's an honor for me to be in the same studio with you, brother, because I see the work you've done. I see the people you've helped. I've been a witness to people getting out of the chair, looking in the mirror and crying tears of joy and happiness that their smile, the first thing people notice has been restored, where it was not what they had wanted it to be, where they would hide it, they wouldn't smile in pictures, if they laughed they put their hand over their mouth. You've seen all this in your career for your whole life, and now when they come out of your office, they can't stop smiling.
That's the source of our energy and reward. It's very gratifying.
On a personal level, I couldn't chew on the left side of my mouth for about 12 years, you know? And now I'm chewing on the left side. I mean, I can't even believe I'm chewing on the left side. And it was a process, getting used to the denturization. And now it's like I can't wait. I had a steak the other night. I was thrilled. I was just thrilled. So I'm blessed by just knowing you. And I know everybody else that knows you feels the same way. And so we'll be back, in a little while with another of these great podcasts, and we appreciate you and all the work you do and your whole staff, and welcome back. It's good to have you back in town after your long trip.
Thank you so much for your kind words. We really appreciated you coming in and providing the services that we could to make you more aesthetic and functional.
Thank you, brother. That's Dr. Kiana Shah. This is the coach. And we'll see you next time. See you.